Morning. Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for this gathering here today. It is such a blessing to be praising your name on a weekly basis. We are very fortunate that we live in this free country to be able to do so. And Lord, may we love our neighbors. May we be Christ-like figures in this world. And may we project your love onto others, and may we help them. And Lord, we thank you so much for sending your Son here on this, here to die for us, for our sins, Lord. And we have a sinful nature, and we sin constantly, Lord. And would you thank you for bearing our all these sins that we have, that we commit, Lord, and the love that you pour onto us, Lord. We thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. It was Monday when I was trying to think of a subject to speak for today. And I prayed about it, and I thought that there is a lot of suffering going around the world, and there is a lot of personal suffering going on in our neighborhoods, in our church, in our family. So I said, I will speak about the Good Samaritan. Little did I know that the following day there would be a huge earthquake and all this disaster will come into our lives. And so the message is not as the result of the earthquake in Haiti, but as the result, I believe, of my desire to touch our hearts, or at least God to touch our hearts, about our responsibilities toward mankind. To most people, the meaning of the word neighbor would be the person who lives next door to me. And that would be a good and correct understanding of the word as far as definitions are concerned, but Jesus gave a new meaning to the word neighbor. The law says, love your neighbor as yourself. We must, of course, be kind and neighborly to the person living next door to us. But Jesus said that we must be kind to everyone, everybody in need. And being kind to the needy people was being a neighbor, no matter who that person was, or where that need was. Love your neighbor means to love all persons. But why did Jesus tell the story of a good Samaritan, and to whom did he tell this story? We read in verse, or we read this morning in verse 25, teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Was the question of a lawyer, of the expert of the law. This lawyer was testing Jesus, asking him a hard question, trying to catch him, hoping that Jesus could give him the wrong answer. The lawyer knew the law of Moses well. He actually taught and explained it to the people. And Jesus answered by asking him the question, or another question, what is written in the law? As if Jesus was saying, if you are so good as you pretend to be, then you should know the answer to your question without asking me. This lawyer was able to quote the right words from the law of Moses as written in Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 and Leviticus 19:18. Jesus commended him for the right answer and said, do this and you will live. The lawyer was disappointed for failing to trap Jesus. So as lawyers do, he asked him another question, testing him again, hoping at least this time to either make Jesus say he didn't know or give the wrong answer. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In other words, what does the word neighbor mean? Or whom am I to treat with love? The answer Jesus gave that silenced the lawyer was the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this parable of Good Samaritan has become so famous and so well known. As a matter of fact, I believe it was in 1975 the Quebec government made this a law, the Good Samaritan law or doctrine. Now, other provinces, this is the only province in Canada that has made it a law. Although other provinces have similar requirements and laws, and yet Quebec's is very clear a law. And there are many organizations and there are many countries who have adopted this principle. And all it was because a lawyer 2,000 years ago asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him the story of the Good Samaritan. A poor traveler who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho was robbed, stripped of his clothes, beaten, and left there half dead. A priest going down the same road saw the man, but he quickly passed by on the other side. He thought to himself, I am too busy, I have no time. Then he probably thought, well, the church or the synagogue is waiting for me. Well, there is a very important meeting to go to, or this is not my job, this is the job of the government, or this is the job of someone else. And he left. Then a Levite came by, and when he saw the injured man, he also passed by on the other side. The two passers-by, a priest and a Levite, both were leaders. Both of them served in the temple, teaching and preaching to the people, but too proud and selfish to bother about the wounded and desperate person in need in the ditch. Then comes along a Samaritan man. Samaritans were hated by the Jews. Now when this man saw the injured man, he took pity on him and went out of his way to help him. Jesus used this parable to describe a loving and neighborly person. When Jesus finished the story, he tested the lawyer with this question: which of the three passers-by behaved like neighbor? The lawyer was forced to say the one who had mercy on him. He couldn't even say the hated word Samaritan because they were hated by the Jews. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. But what was so special about that Samaritan man, or what was so special that that Samaritan man had done that was loving and neighborly? It wasn't easy or cheap for the Samaritan to help the poor man in the ditch. He had to overcome many difficulties. Let's look at three of these difficulties. He overcame, first, personal inconvenience. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was very rough and dangerous. People would hurry. They would not waste time to look around, even to help someone wounded in a ditch. The priest did actually look at the wounded man in the ditch. He saw him, verse 31 says, but he probably said to himself, I'm in a hurry. I will be late for the meeting. I must attend to God's business. Let someone else help him. So the verse says, he passed by on the other side. The Levite came and saw him, passed away on the other side. Verse 32 says, he too probably was very busy or could not stand the sight of blood. So he continued on his way. Neither the priest nor the Levite could overcome personal inconveniences. It was too much trouble. They could not be bothered. Why did the Samaritan help? First, it was wonderful that he did anything at all. After seeing that the man was in the ditch was a Jew, hated by Samaritans, and then we see that this gentleman was filled with so much love, seeing the man in the ditch. His heart was sort of broken, and he went down to help him. We see love in action. He did everything for the wounded man. But why? The answer is in verse 33. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He had compassion on him. The word compassion is Latin, and is a Latin word and is made of two words. Com means together, and passion means feeling. Sympathy is the Greek word which means exactly the same. His compassion overcame his personal inconvenience. Yes, it will cost time and money, but I cannot let that poor man just lie there. That was how he probably felt. But he overcame more than that. The second thing he overcame was the man's nationality. John 4:9 says, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And that was the main mindset of the Jews. They just hated Samaritans and Gentiles. When the Samaritan saw that the wounded man was a Jew, his natural reaction at first would be, or probably was, Jews are our enemies. I'm doing nothing for you. But the good Samaritan, like Jesus, loved his enemies. Romans 5:10 says, when we were God's enemies, Jesus died for us. So love overcame what was natural. You see, God's love is supernatural. Today, in many countries, even in so-called Christian countries, Jews are hated. If our hearts are full of compassion and love, we will love the Jews and Gentiles alike and bring the gospel, the good news of life to all. The third thing he overcame was personal expenses. Verse 34 and 35 say, I will describe the man's attitude and say, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. He was willing to put his money where his faith was, in God's service. No expense was too high for God. In other words, he walked his talk. Let's look at some of the things the Good Samaritan did and see if we also are ready to do the same for others, including our enemies. He went to him. That meant climbing down to where he was. And when I saw this comment on the paper, I thought of the pictures I was seeing on television. And there were so many trying to bring God from those collapsed buildings. I saw men crawling under the rocks, under the cement blocks, trying to bring someone. Well, that was very dangerous because that rock can collapse on them. And yet they didn't think of their own life. They thought of someone else's life. You have people who, like Carlos, left Montreal, his comfortable home, and it's taking him a day or two just to go there, and there will be serving. It takes a time and effort to serve God. And when we look at this story and the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan was hated, he was his enemy. Countryman, the priest went by and looked at him. He just continued, and then the other gentleman went by. He was very involved in the temple activities, and nothing happened. And then the enemy comes and goes down to help him. I believe that we are called upon to help as many people as we can. Now, it's not practical, and even the government is saying we don't want anyone else to go to Haiti. We have enough people. But what they want is our prayers, and they want our money and our help. Well, the same thing happens here in Montreal. As a matter of fact, as I said, I wasn't preparing this message for Haiti, but for our church and our neighborhood and our country, people who live in our country. And we are very comfortable where we are, and when I'm counseling families that are going through a difficult period of time, there is a divorce involved, there are children hurting, there are families falling apart and no one really knows what's going on, and I look at my own family and I'm comfortable. I have my children, I have my grandchildren and my home, and I feel guilty for having all that. And looking at the family suffering, my heart says, go down to them and help them, hug them, kiss them, and try to help them come out of this. As a matter of fact, many of us are suffering, and we are even shy. When I say many of us, many of you, including myself, we may be suffering at one time or another, and we are embarrassed to go and share this with someone else because we don't know how people will react. There are those who are going through emotional and spiritual struggles. There are those who have many questions. Those who are so disappointed and so discouraged that they have come to the end of their rope, and yet there is not one good Samaritan to go and say, how can I help you? Every one of us should be a good Samaritan and reach out. And if we cannot save the body, maybe we should try and save the soul. I cannot save any souls, but we can lead them to God, to the Lord, who will help them find peace and joy. If we can fix someone's situation, we must. And if we can't, then we must try to find ways of helping this person's emotional, spiritual, and physical needs. That's what the Good Samaritan would have done. He went to him. That meant climbing down to where he was. He poured in oil and wine. Now, he had some oil and he had some wine with him. I'm sure that was for his own use or for his own benefit, and yet he sacrificed that. He just gave it to his enemy. He washed his wounds and poured on oil. I believe that we can go to someone's life and someone's home, someone's mind, if you wish, by sharing our own experiences, by trying to find out what is troubling that soul, and we can pour some of our oil on that wound and try to help him be restored. He bound up his wounds. I don't know whether in every situation you can help yourself, but this man went down and he bound his wounds and he dirtied his hands. He used his oil and whatever wine he had or vinegar he had or whatever he had, he used it for his enemy's benefit and wounds. He gave him his own transportation. Now that's interesting, because for this Good Samaritan to transport or bring this man to a hotel, he had to put him on his donkey. Obviously, you have seen very many pictures, a man just sort of thrown on a donkey and someone is trying to help him. But we don't exactly know how this happened, and yet we know that for the Good Samaritan to be able to do that, he had to walk, and so he can help this Jewish wounded man. He was willing to sacrifice the best he had. He gave him his own transportation. He brought him to a hotel, probably walked with him for the rest of the way, as I said. He didn't only help him, he didn't only clean his wound, he didn't only comfort him, he didn't only say, well, you know what, you shouldn't have come this way. You know what, the problem with many of us is that we have all the answers people need. We believe that we can tell a sinner why he's being punished, why he's sick, why he's not being healed, why this, why that. And we always give big speeches and big lectures. It's like those now who are already preaching to the Haitian people and saying the only reason why this is happening because of that. At this point, we don't know why it happened, and we know the natural laws, and we know, but anyone who can point, who would point a finger, must realize that every time you point your finger, three other fingers point at you. And this Good Samaritan didn't give this man a lecture. He didn't tell him that he should have been more careful. He didn't tell him anything like that. He just took care of him. He didn't ask the reasons why he was there. He only offered him his help. And I believe we, the leaders of a church, we, the leaders of a family, we as Christians must always be ready to help spiritually, emotionally, physically, those in need with no strings attached. He took care of him. He stayed with him for the night. Just like the wounded man of this parable, we too were hurt, robbed by sin, and left there, alone in the pit of despair to die. But Jesus came to where we were and met all our needs. That is why we too should ask God to help us show our gratitude to Him by looking out for others in need and help them in His name. Not only physical help, but spiritual and emotional help. Who is a good neighbor? The one who has mercy on others. Go and do likewise, Jesus said. Who is my Good Samaritan? For me personally, the Good Samaritan in my life is Jesus, God Himself. Like this Jewish man in the pit, I was robbed from my dignity. I was robbed from my my personal life, spiritual life, I was wounded and I needed help. And Jesus came and where I was and picked me up and gave me a new beginning, gave me a new life. He washed away my sins. He washed away my wounded heart and mind. I come from a very, very, very poor family. There was war. And I remember my mom in need, great need of help during the war. And I was a little boy. And I remember how appreciated the help of others was. And I remember how we went through days or nights of fear because the bombs were falling and we didn't have any food to eat. And yet I know that Jesus was always there to help us. And other believers came and helped us. And I believe that what has happened today in today's society, we have become very self-centered, very selfish, very materialistic, and we really don't care whether my brother is going through a difficult period of time. He may be well-dressed, he may be smiling all the time, he may have a good job, he may have a good family, and yet he is going through a turmoil. And some of the people who commit suicide, some people who are killed, some of the people are not poor street people. They are from good families, but yet there aren't enough good Samaritans to go there and hug them and ask them, what is the problem? How can I help you? Why are you not happy? And I believe Jesus gave this story to encourage those around him to mind not only their own business, but look out for others in need. If you are going through a difficult period of time in your life and you have thought of ending it, if you are going through a difficult period of time and your marriage is about to fall apart, if you are going through a difficult period of time where you've been wounded and scarred and you don't know where you're going from there, remember, there is a Good Samaritan. And that Good Samaritan may not be the pastor, may not be the elder, may not be someone that you know. And yet we know for sure that Jesus is the Good Samaritan and came to save us and give us eternal peace. But Jesus will be using people. And unless you are willing to be used by God like the Good Samaritan, then you miss the point. We miss the point. My desire is to be used by God to be able to be like the Good Samaritan and reach out and touch many lives. May God help you show mercy to others, especially to those who are in real need of someone to touch their soul, their spirit, and their families. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are weak, but you are strong. We are lost often in our thoughts. We are lost in our despair. We are lost in our circumstances. But we know that you are strong and you are there. And all you need to hear from us is, God, have mercy on me. And Lord, I pray now for those of us who are in leadership, those of us who claim to be Christians, those of us who know the truth, to be always ready to help and to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting and conviction. Often we are convicted to help. We are often convicted to reach out, Lord, and we don't respond. Have mercy on us. And now, Lord, please touch each one of us. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen.